Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, my guest is pianist Hart O'Brien, whose style is pure bebop with his own special touches, gleaned from such players as Barry Harris and Dave McKenna. He remains faithful to the bop tradition, and I just love it. How are you, Hart?
I'm fine. It's great to be here. I've been a fan of yours since 1953 when I first heard you play at the Hickory House.
Oh,
I was 17 years old, first times coming to New York to hear all my heroes, you know. I used to go hear Billy Taylor at the Downbeat then, and because of Birdland, and listen to Bud Powell, and those were my major rounds in those years.
And so I was at the Hickory House, and you were all of 17?
Yeah.
It's funny. I used to grumble about being in the Hickory House when I said I was jealous of Barbara Carroll because she was over at the Embers.
Oh.
Much nicer room. And, you know, the Hickory House, they had sawdust on the floor, and I thought that wasn't too proper for a jazz trio.
Uh-huh.
But we made it for 10 years, so it must have been all right.
It was a pretty good hang, though, wasn't it? I mean, a lot of the musicians would always be coming in there one time or another during the day or the night.
Oh, we did have a lot of people would come and sit in. Bucky Pizzarelli would always come and sit in. And Duke Ellington had his dinner there every night because his press agent was also the press agent for the Hickory House. So Duke was a regular. And then people like Oscar Peterson and Duke would sit in. That I would have had you sit in if I'd known you in those days.
I don't think so. I was wet behind the ears and just starting to, you know, I was playing a little bit, but I had a lot more learning to do.
Well, how did you get started? I mean, with your family, did you play at home?
I got started at about 8 years old. I heard Boogie Woogie then, and it just totally astounded me. And I locked right into it, and I said, I had to have that. And I was playing a little bit because my mother got me started just fiddling around, playing with one finger and stuff. Couldn't play chords yet or anything. But when I heard Boogie Woogie, I let everybody know I needed to find out how to play it. So my mother started. She took me to a piano teacher, actually at the little school that I was going to, elementary school at the time. And the teacher, I walked in and to my first lesson, and the student before me was also playing some Boogie Woogie. And I told my teacher, that's what I want to do. And she said, okay, well, I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you do some learning Boogie Woogie if you learn scales and the usual stuff that you all learn when you start out playing.
That was pretty clever of her to get the classical end of things going and teach you about Boogie Woogie at the same time.
Yeah, well, she got some sheet music on it, and so I learned the sheet music way, but... I had also, my parents had a friend, had some friends who had a son that was a few years older than me, who could actually improvise it and play it. And he'd come over to the house, and when he did that, you know, that's really what got me started. Because he would show me the tricks he was doing, you know, and I remember learning this one.
Oh, yeah.
And I just did that for like 2 years before I learned anything else, you know.
Well, then when did you decide you were going to go into the music business or you were going to go out and play professionally?
Well, that was not until I was about 18 or so. I kind of took lessons on and off from the ages of 8 till about 18. And all those years, I learned more of sophisticated forms of jazz music and, you know, a lot of Dixieland and swing music in that time, that period, I was hearing and kind of worked in that style for a while. And I finally heard bebop and jazz at the Phil when I was about 15 years
old.
Oh,
my goodness. That must have
and that
got you going.
That turned me around, yeah. That's where I really got into, where I where
and
I stayed until
today.
You played
with all these different people. Name some of those great musicians that you played with.
I had the great experience to have played with Oscar Pettiford, one of my first major gig after about a year in New York, yeah. And his quintet, we had in the first wave of the quintet, he had Red Rodney on it for a while, and then later Johnny Coles on trumpet. Sahib Shahab was in the played baritone and alto, and the drummer was named Buster Smith. His real name is Earl Buster Smith, but they called him Buster.
So you got right into it.
Right into it, yeah.
That was a good thing.
It was easier in those days, I think, for people to get heard and known and whatnot, because, you know, it was kind of an open scene with the lofts, the jam sessions.
Oh, the loft scene, of
places where you could go and play. And so a lot of us got discovered, quote unquote, you know, in lofts, and because some of the working musicians would come by after the gigs and play and jam, and you could, you know, be heard. My first record date was worked that way. I walked by a club called The Pad, which is Sheridan Square in Village, and Teddy Charles was playing there that night.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew Hal Stein, alto player. He was playing with Teddy. I had played with Hal a few times already in jam sessions, and I walked into the club, and Hal saw me. He said, "Yeah, hey, maybe Teddy will have you come up and sit in, you know." And I said, "Sure, I'd love to, you know." So I did, and at the end of the set, Teddy said to me, "Hey, you sound good, man. You'd like to do a record date." He was A&Ring for Prestige at that time, you know.
I Boy, said,
yes,
a good start.
Well.
But we've got to play something.
Okay.
I love hearing all your reminiscences, but do play a tune.
Okay.
Especially, I'm impressed you wrote a tune for me.
Yes, I did. I thought about it. It just kind of occurred to me in the car yesterday driving up here. A riff started going through my head, and I just kind of kept going with it until I got to the end. And I said, "Man, maybe I should play this on Marion's show tomorrow." And then I said, "Well, what am I going to call it?" And I said, "Well," then I started thinking of a word that rhymed with Marion, and I thought of Clarion for Marion.
I think that's fantastic. I can't wait to hear it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot. Thank you.
Well, I'm flattered. I love the key, and I love the fact that it swings. That must be me. And all in all, I think I'm very thrilled. Have you write a tune for me? Maybe I can play it. I love that key and the tempo and everything. And, of course, I love all those little quotes.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah. I mean, if that's a sample of what we're going to hear, how about another tune?
Okay. How about, what is this thing called love?
That's a great one. Boy, you have some mighty good chops there, man. Wow. I mean, as a kid, you must have practiced.
Yeah, I did a lot of practicing, yeah.
Because it's amazing. How did you learn these various tunes? Did you just hear them on a record or something?
Mostly from listening. I learned by ear. I really play by ear. All the lessons I took didn't really help me become much of a sight reader, not because of the teacher, but because of me, which I didn't really like to work at sight reading at all, and I never got a very good feel for it.
It's funny, but I'm the same way. Well, there's more music in a minute with Hart O'Brien. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. On the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Something I find sort of interesting, how long you worked as a musician and then you suddenly decided to take off and study at Columbia?
Yeah.
Math?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, I got interested in doing mathematics because it was a fascinating subject. And when I started college after high school, I didn't complete it. I went to Oberlin for about 3 months, and then I had an illness that occurred right around then that I needed to go to a hospital for a while, and then I went back to school in New York in 1956 when I first moved there at Manhattan Music School, and then I didn't complete that either because I got interested in just playing with the bands and wanted to just play and didn't want to study. Along came around 1963. Things were kind of slowing down. Actually, I was getting more into playing with my own trio. I started working at the Five Spot and Jazz Gallery. The Termini brothers owned both of those clubs, and they were kind of in my corner.
And you played at the Cork and Bib.
And I played at the Cork and Bib.
My goodness! Now we are going back a ways.
That's right. Yeah. I played intermission solo piano there, and I got to hear all the big name groups.
That was a great club.
It was, yeah.
But yeah. So how long did you study math?
Well, I studied for 2 or 3 years at Columbia, and I started off well, and then I kind of got very deep and involved and over my head. And the subject... even though it still is a fascinating one to me, I couldn't understand a lot of it. I couldn't really grasp it that well. So I switched my major to psychology to get a degree and just for the sake
Amazing.
Of getting a college degree. And I didn't pan out as a mathematician. And I should have spent those years, I think, staying in the music business because I lost a little momentum by dropping out for
well,
10 years.
Well, you soon got it back, obviously.
Well, yeah, I kind of got into it much more seriously.
Well, let's think about a tune we could play as a duet, like some Duke Ellington tune, Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, let's wail.
What key is it in?
F, okay.
Okay. Thank you. that went along nicely, didn't it?
Sweet.
I think there's something about Duke Ellington tunes.
I mean, no
matter what you play.
They're so up. They're upbeat, you know. They just give you a good feeling.
I remember Mary Lou Williams once said to me, if you're having a sort of a down night and you don't feel that good, play a Duke Ellington tune.
There you go.
And it'll bring you right back up again.
One of my favorite composers. I have two favorites. One is Duke and one is Cole Porter. I like Cole Porter's music. It's so just above much of the other music of his genre, you know, and the guys that wrote in his era.
How about Harold Arlen?
And Harold Arlen, too. Well, they're all great, but I don't know. Porter's music always has some beautiful changes, you know, that you just something a little more than what you hear. You know, it's just some sort of, I was just thinking about it last night. Jimmy Lyons was a great reharmonizer.
Yes, he was, indeed.
And you are too. And so was a few other people. Dave McKenna can do that.
Dave
is one of my favorite piano players. I think that. Jimmy Lyon had that room at the Peacock Alley on Cole Porter's piano for so many years.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you go there to hear?
I went to hear him there, yeah.
You probably got around to hearing just about everybody.
Over the years, yeah.
And I think that shows in your playing that I don't mean by that you copy anybody, but that you've got wonderful ideas.
Thank you.
Well, there's more to come with Hart O'Brien. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. That just seemed like hearing you talking about Cole Porter made me think maybe I can do one of his songs, which I like a lot, but never seem to play, and I might have a go at this one. Every Time We Say Goodbye.
Masterful ballad, yeah.
Well, here goes. Thank you.
Oh, Marion, thank you for playing that tune. It's I think one of the greatest ballads that's ever been. You know, Cole Porter's great ballad. It's a classic, and of course, your ability to play such gorgeous harmonies made it special for me.
Well, you gave me the idea by talking about Cole Porter, and I suddenly realized that I hadn't played that tune for ages, and it is such a lovely one.
You did great.
You think I should keep on?
Keep it in.
I should keep playing?
Yes. That's what I want to do, man. I'm going to play until I can't play anymore.
Well,
one way or another.
How about another Cole Porter tune?
How about I Still Got My Health?
That's a tune by Cole Porter that I've never heard of.
I hadn't heard of it until a few years ago when my wife, Stephanie Nakassian, who's a wonderful singer, jazz singer, we work a lot together, and she also teaches, and she has several students that I accompany them in their recitals. One of them learned this song from a Harry Connick recording, which was around a few years ago, and it's a nice, catchy little number. I hope I can play it.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
I never heard of that tune, but it's wonderful. I'd just like to hear your wife, Stephanie, do the lyric. That'll be the next time around.
Yeah, well, we have to get her to do it. She hadn't taken it on in her repertoire yet. We have never done it together, actually. One of her students is the ones that this is where I got the idea of the tune from and where I learned it from. But it would be great for her. I'll suggest it to her.
It's a great song to play. Yeah,
it is.
Well, I'm having a wonderful time with my guest, Hart O'Brien. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I hear you played it at the Music Inn a few times.
Yes, I did. I was living in Lenox, Stockbridge, actually, which is right next door to Lenox, during 1955 and 1956. The Music Inn was in the Berkshires, and I'd like to think of the Music Inn as the 52nd Street of the Berkshires.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It was something, yeah. And those were great years in that area. The Music Inn, and right up the hill from Music Inn was a place called Avalok, where Randy Weston used to play in the summers.
Oh, yeah.
From all during the 50s, mid-50s, early 50s, yeah. And they had great concert series at the Music Inn starting in 55. They had everybody from Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington Orchestra played there, and then a lot of the what were modern players at that time, like the Art Farmer, G.G. Grice Quintet.
John Lewis
and the MJQ would come in there. And then later on, John started the Lenox School of Jazz, which was hosted there at the Music Inn, and everybody was there. Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach, Oscar Pettiford, Sonny Rollins, Bill Evans, Oscar Peterson, Kenny Dorham.
Goodness.
They were all, that was the faculty. J.R. Montrose was one of the students, and I played with J.R. For a couple of years, like in 1958 and 59. And that band was Elvin Jones. That was my second apprenticeship after playing with Pettiford.
My goodness.
Yeah, and we had Elvin and Wilbur Ware.
That was a character.
Yeah.
He used to come in the Hickory House and sit in with me once in a while.
Yeah. Well, one night we were playing in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which was right near Albany, where actually the gig that I played with J.R. was in Albany. It was a four-night-a-week gig at a place called down in the Red Light District called on Green Street in Albany called the Gaiety.
And, well-named.
Well-named, yeah. So his wife at the time was a woman who grew up in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which is nearby. And one time we got a call to do a concert there, and J.R. wanted to impress all the people in Pittsfield, that with his in-laws and stuff, with this band we had. And we got over there. Wilbur was drinking, and he was really just overloaded. And as I'm playing the piano, Wilbur starts falling over towards me, slowly at first and then faster, and then he started leaning on me, and he's just falling down. He fell right down on me, and we both fell off the piano bench in the middle of this concert, and Elvin was getting very ready to kill somebody with that happening. So Elvin and J.R. had to play a little bit by themselves while I try and help Wilbur get back up.
And did you keep playing the tune?
Yeah, we did. Because J.R. kind of let us in. He took something that he ended up liking to do in his later career was to play duos with drummers.
Well, that gave him a good start.
That's probably where he got the idea, yeah. J.R. I've got some recordings of him playing with Han Bennick in Holland. You know, they did something in Copenhagen, I think, maybe at the Montmartre or something. But anyways, J.R., that was where it started.
It sounds
they did a long duo together while we got ourselves straightened out and back on in our positions. Right.
Sounds like you had a jolly time up there.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, how about another tune?
All right. I thought I'd like to play Un Poco Loco because I think of Bud Powell as being probably... I sort of like to think that I owe maybe 90% of my life to Bud Powell just because of the way I play. And he's the influence that he's been on me and other people who also have been an influence on me, you know, from that 50s era, 40s and 50s era.
I just loved his music. I thought he was fabulous. I'm dying to hear you play Poco Loco because you have to have some mean chops to be able to play that.
Well, I worked on it.
And you do have. So go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Thank you.
It's wonderful. Nobody plays that tune. It's too difficult, including me. He was so creative in his ideas.
I know.
And did you just listen to that and on the record or something? Or?
Well, yeah, I've heard, you know, I know Barry Harris could play this tune, and Walter Davis once played it for me. And I figured that, well, I better put it on my list of Bud Powell classics. This is one of his great compositions.
Well, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we've only got one more tune.
All right.
That's the end.
Yeah.
But I must tell you, it's been so nice, very enjoyable playing with you.
The same here.
And
really, it's been something I've wanted to do a long time.
Well, I just don't know why we didn't capture you before, but I'm glad we've had you this time.
I'm glad.
And it was lovely. So what'll we end up with?
I guess we're going to end up with the blues.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Okay, how about Now's the Time?
That's a good one.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yay.
Great. We pulled it off.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McParland and today's guest, Hod O'Brien. Join us each week at this time as Marian welcomes other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Shari Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Tyler Hartman, mastering engineer David Mitchell, engineering intern Dale Anderson, production manager David Lyon, executive producer Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To learn more about the artists or music selections played on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll also find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.